Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tell me a story.
Like my story?
No, not your story. A story.
I don't think I know any stories.
You don't know any stories?
No.
All right, I'll tell you a story.
Score Stories.
WSCR is the first ever all sports radio station in Chicago.
Celebrating the 30th anniversary of 670 The Score.
You call me back on the air, you tell me what time and when, and I'll whip your ass.
And it's Sosa's home run, a towering line drive.
Two gutless wonders are at it again, Boris and Bernstein.
How you doing, Ozzy? Clean up your damn mouth when you're talking on the radio and you're talking to me.
All of the station's big moments.
Hot damn!
The Bears got Jay Cutler.
The quarterback stunk. The offensive line stunk. Special teams stunk. Defense stunk. The running game stunk. The coaches stunk.
So who you crapping?
Well, I'm just
don't crap me. No.
And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
And the stories behind them.
The bunker, 49-49 West Belmont.
Score Stories with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Every Thursday, as we build up to our 30th anniversary celebration, the actual 30th anniversary of when The Score came on the air was back in January. But now we got the date, we got the information for the party. It's right around the corner. We hope to see all of you at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village on the 20th of July, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. We've been talking to Score luminaries, past and present. It's all brought to you by EOC Audio. Check out their showroom in Lyle.
You know what we need is somebody who's like really towards the top of the power structure here at the station. I think that would be healthy. Somebody who knows where the bodies are buried. Somebody who's been around the Chicago radio scene for a long, long, long time. Just can you recommend anybody?
Our boss, Mitch Rosen, is in studio. Hello, Mitch.
Hello.
No one's
Mitch,
run.
You got to hit that button.
A little button.
There you go. Yeah.
No one's run the station longer. Right, you have to be the longest tenured boss in the history of the Score, right? 18 years?
Right, I'm in my 18th year. Wow. Obviously, the station, 30 years old. And I started here in February of 2005.
February of 2005. Now, how many years before that were you running the other station up the dial? I interviewed with you.
You did. I was there for 9 years. Woo! At WMVP and took a year off and was an agent for 1 year. And then Paul Agassi, the then general manager, called me. We met and came over here to the Score. And it was the best decision I ever made.
So he's been running a radio station for 27, essentially 26 or 27
right.
of the 30 years that we're talking.
Right.
About.
Yeah.
That's fun. Nuts.
Yeah. Very fortunate to be in the town where I grew up. You know, I grew up in Skokie and, you know, lived in Chicago my entire life, a short run in New York for a very short time. But lucky, fortunate, you know, it's like growing up a White Sox or a Cubs fan and, you know, wanting to play baseball, but I was a radio geek and, you know, being in this business for this long, just lucky and fortunate.
So what was your awareness of the Score when it came on the air in January of 92?
It's funny. I worked with a guy named Eddie Schwartz.
Legend.
At WGN Radio, and I remember him reading about it, and he had a very high voice, and I can't believe there's an all-sports station. There's no way. He kind of had the Kopic attitude that it wasn't going to last. Like, are people going to tune in and listen to sports all day? And I was a news sports junkie, and, you know, I kind of thought it would, and followed it, but didn't follow it that closely, and never thought that I'd be working, you know, closely with this brand when it launched in 1992.
So who did you know that jumped to the Score at the time in 92? It's probably some colleagues, some friends in the business.
Yeah, you know, Judd Surratt worked at GN for a short time, so I knew Judd a little bit. Obviously, you know, knew of the name of Ron Gleason. McNeil and I knew each other. I used to see him at Hawks games. So I was an intern at GN in 1988. So I got to know Mac a little bit from The Loop, and I worked at the, went over to The Loop after that. But I knew Mac a little bit because as an intern, I'd go with Wayne Larrivee and Swirsky. As an intern at GN, it was really an all-star sports department. It was Swirsky, Wayne Larrivee, Dwayne Statz, and a guy named Randy Minkoff. So I interned at GN Radio right out of college in 1988.
That's crazy. So you mentioned Kopic, and he was against it, right? He didn't believe in it. Did he almost ever work here?
No, Kopic was not somebody under my watch that ever worked here. Now, when I first started here, we had lunch, and he wanted to do some part-time work, but never really came close to working here. And then towards the end of his life, he got pretty bitter towards the Score and bitter towards me, and it was not pleasant.
Yeah, no, I remember some of that. Well, because we were just talking about, like, what if castings from a league of their own. You're one of the few people who can actually do some what if castings in Score history. Yeah. But I don't even really know. So, like, you formed Mully and Hanley, right?
Right.
Were there some what ifs for Morning Drive when you're putting that show together?
Yeah, not really for Morning Drive. I'll tell you one person that, you know, we came very close to, like a day or two close to, and I forgot what era, but we came very close at one time bringing David Kaplan here, and I think Cap is very talented and a good person, but at the time, I just didn't feel he was a good fit for our brand. I didn't think he would be a good fit for the Score brand or for our audience, and, you know, listen, maybe I overthought it at the time, but I just think our what you guys do as performers and what our producers do every day and what Cap do is different. Not saying it's right or wrong, but at the time, I just didn't think it was the right fit for the Score brand.
How long ago was that? Was that
while you were here, Danny. I'd say, you know, I'm like going
Sports
back.
Like Central, like when he was with Waddle
I think he was at MVP. So okay. Again, dates may, you know, years may be off, but it might be 10, 11 years, right, Speed?
I was full-time.
You remember?
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh.
I remember those conversations with you and you thinking about it and going through all of that. Yeah, it's interesting. Like have you ever come close to stealing somebody from up there to bring him over here?
You know, listen, nowadays, you know, there's contracts, so it's not easy just to walk across the street. No, every contract's different. I guess contracts at times are breakable, but not really. I think he was the closest, and I think contract was expiring at the time, but no, there's not anybody that, you know, one day's working at one station and the next day walks across the street over here.
So you are here when this radio station gets the Cubs, and it shocked everybody, right? I mean, that's got to be the biggest acquisition you've made since you've been here.
Other than you from Kansas City. I have a funny story about you in a minute. But
okay.
I think before that, I think what really helped this station was when the station acquired the rights to the White Sox. It was obviously the first big, you know, franchise on this station. You know, we had the Hawks before, and it was before the Stanley Cup. You know, bad timing. When the Hawks left the Score, the next year the Hawks won their first Stanley Cup. So that was bad timing. But we negotiated the White Sox deal the starting season of 05. It was myself, Paul Agassi, and Rod Zimmerman, and Brooks Boyer and Jerry Reinsdorf. So we did that deal in April of the 05 season. Who would ever thought they would win the World Series? So it was a good deal for both parties. And so that was, I think, really the start of great things to come to have a Major League Baseball team on this frequency. So first of all, before the Cubs, that was great. So we have the White Sox, and then...
And I should say, Mitch, when I got here with Mac in 2009 in June, and we started working, the affiliation with the White Sox was a powerful and amazing thing. And we did lots of shows from that broadcast
booth,
from the bars there, and would travel with them in the playoffs and everything like that.
It was really cool. And to this day, listen, I great relation with Brooks and a lot of people in the front office. So that was really the start of great things to come.
Shane also has a great relationship with Rick Hahn.
I didn't know that. And then the Cubs deal was really Rod Zimmerman and CBS Radio at the time to take away the Cubs from WGN Radio. It's similar to what happened in Milwaukee recently where the Packers left TMJ and went to iHeart and that group. It was a brilliant move. So they go to BBM, and they're parked on BBM for a couple years. And the White Sox, timing worked out pretty good, right? So Cubs deal ends, White Sox deal ends, and we have 10 days in the contract to move the Cubs to the score, a 10-day window, and we moved the Cubs to the score, and it was perfect timing. And you guys know, and the audience, I think, knows, in that first year, the Cubs are on the score. They win the World Series since 1908, and you know you'd rather be lucky than good, but that was a magical year. I get chills just thinking about it, and it was an incredible feeling, you know, most importantly for the audience, but for being here and being part of that, and everybody that worked so hard on that broadcast, from engineers to sales to promotions to Pat and Ron to Mark Rohde, it was incredible.
I've got a video from the back of the broadcast booth in Cleveland. Yep. When they won the World Series, mm-hmm. over the shoulder mm-hmm. of Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer,
yep.
and you are right there standing behind Pat Hughes. You hand him a live read that he had to do.
Produce,
You were basically producing in that World Series, weren't you?
Yeah, it was special. State Farm, a great partner of ours, bought a commercial that had to air within 60 seconds of the final out. It aired 36 seconds within the final out, you know, Pat reading it after his final out. And it was an incredible night, you know, just to see Pat and Ron and Mark, you know, grown men crying, you know, calling the final out. And you were there. It was unbelievable.
How many people were in that booth? I got a crowd. It was a crowded booth.
Casper, Grody, me, Mitch, Pat, Ron.
Wait, Casper was on the field by the end of the final out.
Yeah, for the final out. So five for the final out.
So yeah, just five, I think, right?
Funny, quick story. So we had a production meeting about 1 or 2 o'clock that afternoon in Cleveland to go over, okay, here's the plans, game seven. And Casper, and on our phones, there was no sign of rain that day. Casper, at the end of the meeting, goes, maybe we should get an umbrella just in case it rains. And I go, really? So I said to Miska, Dave Miska was engineering. I go, Dave, do you mind going to CVS? No problem. And he took the credit card, and we had the umbrella. Casper goes down on the field after the game with the umbrella, and he had the wireless mic and great interviews after the game. But I don't know if you remember that, but the umbrella. It was incredible.
That's awesome.
What about Coomer's dry dogs? In that podcast booth.
Pat and Ron. So, you know, we're working. There was no real food in the press box that night leading up to it. So I went down to the concourse like third inning, and everyone was in the stand. So there weren't long lines, and they were running out of hot dogs, and they were out of condiments. So I got one of those big steel trays, like catering trays, and I think I bought like 30 hot dogs, and I brought them up and no condiments, and Pat still has fun with this, that they were dry dogs, and everyone was so darn hungry that they ate hot dogs with no condiments. So that's where dry dogs come from.
That's amazing.
Mitch Rosen, our program director, 18 years, the longest tenured boss of the Score for Score Stories, brought to you by EOC Audio, all 30th anniversary content brought to you by EOC Audio. Check them out, their showroom in Lyle. We hope you come see us at Real Time Sports on the 20th of July. So, all right. So if those are big positive moments, when you think of the low moments, the tough times, where does your mind go?
Well, the toughest time, you know, there were some low times, two that stand out to me. The hardest phone call I ever had to make, in my position was the day Doug Buffon passed away. Doug's wife, Dana, worked in sales at the radio station. And it was, I think, around 12:15 p.m. on the day that Doug passed away. And Dana was on our floor. I think we were on the 11th floor or 9th floor. You know, we'd moved floors several times here. And she came running by my office yelling, "Mitch, Doug's not moving. He's at home. Doug's not moving. Doug's not moving." I go, "What?" And she ran out of the office. And I tried calling her. "Doug's not moving." I didn't get it. So she called me from her house screaming, "Doug is dead. Doug." I go, "What?" So I followed her, or I was about 15 minutes behind her, and Doug had lived near UIC campus. And when I pulled up, there were two police cars there, and Dana came running out, and Doug never woke up that day. Oof. His one of his twin daughters found him. And, you know, I walked outside, and I had to call Ed Obradovich, Doug's best friend. And, yeah, Mitch, that's how he would answer when he saw I was calling. I said, OB, I have some very difficult news to tell you.
What?
I said, you know, I said, Doug has died.
What?
Doug, I remember, Doug, I go, Doug Buffone.
Doug who?
He goes, what? I go, he's passed away. I'm at his house with Dana. He never woke up. And, you know, he started swearing. And I said, OB, I'm so sorry to tell you this way, but I'm here with Dana. And, all right, he hung up. He called me 2 minutes later, goes, did you just call me? Doug is dead? I go, OB, I did, and I'm sorry. So then, you know, we went into action. I have a friend who's a priest, Father Pat Marshall, who is a priest at UIC, the Newman Center, the student center. I called him, and I told him, I said, can you come over here and do last rites? So he came over to the house and did, nice for the Jewish guy to call the priest. And so he came over and did last rites.
You had him on speed dial, who you kidding? Yep.
And, he was a producing at this point.
You're right. Yeah, and so he came over and did last rites. And, you know, obviously Dana was a wreck. And that was a tough time. And then, you know, recently with Les, Les and I were in touch, you know, every day, you know, until he passed away. And you know, Les was never... hardly ever sick and never missed shows. And during COVID he was from home, and you know, nobody would have ever predicted Les would pass away that quickly. And that was a tough call with Kathy, his girlfriend, calling me and yelling, you know, he's dead, he's dead. And that was a low point.
See, you have a very personal connection with people that you really like who work here. I've seen
everybody.
It. For years and years and years, you kind of, it seems like you kind of don't know any other way to do it, Mitch, than to also, you know, be friends with them and kind of let them into your life and vice versa.
Well, it's part of the job. I mean, you know, it's, you know, the title is brand manager now. You know, you sound like you work at Kraft and you oversee the macaroni and cheese brand.
But
the truth
director.
Is, you know, you're really, you know, you're part shrink, you're part, you manage egos, you're part, you know, program director. But, you know, the truth is you really have to be a friend. You have to listen and you have to make tough decisions. But the part I like most about this job is I care about people, and you try to make people happy. That's not always the case. And it's pretty basic. If people are happy, you usually work harder and you enjoy your job. And, you know, that's really the key. And again, people are not always going to be happy, but you strive that way. And if that happens, good things usually happen.
And Danny, when he says he's part shrink, I think of one guy. Would you like to?
Shane?
No.
We'll get some Mac stories from Mitch, and we'll do another segment of Score Story. Were you ever a Mac's agent? You were a Mac's agent.
No. He has a great agent, a great guy.
Yeah, we'll do another segment with. Is that right? Is that Shane? What are you?
Do one more question here. Get one more question in with Mitch here before we break.
Oh, okay. So yeah. What was the biggest challenge of your 18 years with Mac?
Well, even more than that, because, you know, I had him at the other station.
Oh, yeah, that's
and we've
right.
Known each other a long time.
Yeah, you knew him as an intern, you said, in 88.
I consider him a friend, but challenging.
yeah. When you say the shrink, and the reason I referenced it, I remember you every day going down to meet him when he was here.
Yep. Every day he would smoke and I would talk on Stetson. And, you know, I'd get the text, you know, the 2-minute warning. And if I wasn't in a meeting, or I'd try not to schedule meetings around that.
This is when he would arrive. So you'd be sort of debrief him before he'd walk in the building.
Yeah, or he would debrief me. I think it was therapeutic for him that I was down there. And unbelievable talent, a very good person, good heart, good head most of the time. But, you know, his nickname is Dangerous. Pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. Could be dangerous at times. Emotionally dangerous. Unpredictable. But a good person. And, you know, I miss him as a friend sometimes, but I don't miss the unpredictability of working with him. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Man, being very honest.
Yeah, no. So three different stints then with Mac?
MVP.
MVP, McNeil and Spiegel. And then
the Danny Mac show.
Well, the Danny Mac show.
And then eventually McNeil and Spiegel, yes.
Right. And then here a couple times.
And then here, and then our thing in afternoons. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you said you missed the friendship. You guys haven't reconciled?
Well, we have a little.
Yeah.
I talked to him a couple months ago. We text a little bit, trying to get together. But, did some hurtful things, and we talked about that, but still working on that.
That's good.
In terms of a host, I've always said about him that I've never seen anybody with better radio muscles. Like, the ability to reset, the ability to spin a million plates and drive a show and try to be entertaining while also setting up topics. Like, just remarkable in that way.
One of the best. They call it a driver, and mechanically as a host, one of the best. Compelling, unbelievable, unpredictable.
Unpredictable. Yeah. I mean, crazy talented. And the unpredictability is why we all loved him.
No doubt.
Right? It's why.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But off the air, dangerous.
Dangerous. Absolutely. We'll do another segment with Mitch Rosen. More stories, more names to throw at him.
Yeah. I want to know about rivalries with other program directors. Because, hosts have rivalries. I think there's some of those that have gone on as well.
So we'll do that. And then Ross Tucker is going to join us for our Daily Bears talk at 4:40. And then free agency opens for an NBA hour at 5 o'clock. Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
I'm sorry about this afternoon.
Please, everyone be quiet.
Afternoons on the Score.
Mitch Rosen in studio for Score Stories. Come out and see us in real time in Elk Grove Village on the 20th. Score 30th anniversary programming brought to you by EOC Audio. Check out their showroom in Lyle. We have Ross Tucker in a little under 15 minutes. At the top of the hour, NBA free agency opens. We'll be wall-to-wall with all of your NBA news.
All right. So, hosts from one station to another know each other. Sometimes are friends, sometimes there's rivalries, sometimes you worked together. Hell, me and Johnny Hood were super close when we worked together here at the Score decades ago. When Jimmy DeCastro launches The Game, right? The other sports station, the FM sports station. Was there a bit of a rivalry with you and Jimmy, who had worked together many, many years before that at The Loop? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, background. Mentor of mine. To this day, a very close friend of mine. And this was public. It was in the trades. He tried to hire me. He wanted me to come work at GN and eventually run The Game. I think this is public. I came 2 hours away from taking the job.
Wow.
Mentor, good friend. At the end of the day, did a lot of thinking and, talked to the family, all that. Good stuff, and woke up the morning of decision day and just said, things are good. It was CBS Radio at the time, worked for a great guy, Rod Zimmerman. Things were good at the Score, and just timing wasn't right. Called Jimmy and said, it's just not right. Okay. And he was pissed. He thought I was coming. Never anywhere along the line did I say I'm coming, but he was pissed. All right, so that happens and launches The Game.
He launches The Game, stealing people from a couple other places, trying to be a competitor.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, now you want to know a good story about that?
Yes, I do.
I remember it was a Friday afternoon. I was with some salespeople in Northbrook, where Allstate is based. We were on a big luncheon, great meeting, and I get a text from a producer at the Score who's working, Brett Lyons. He goes, there's a package at the desk, and it's fish wrapped in paper, like, dead fish. And now I'm texting him at this luncheon. I didn't order any dead, any fish. He goes, it's wrapped in brown paper. I say, take a picture and send me a text. And I look at it, and I walk away. Now I'm going, what? I have no clue. Still have no clue. What is this?
Somebody sent you dead fish wrapped in newspaper.
Correct. So I get in my car and he goes, oh, there's a note, something to the effect like, in the God, a reference to the Godfather sending dead fish, and the game will live, the score is dead. So
Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
Correct,
yes.
Danny.
Yeah.
I was pissed off.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to Jimmy for a little while. You know, friends go through, brothers, friends go through that. Uh-huh. And the game ended 9 months later.
Yeah.
So did you do anything to get back? Did you send anything? Did you spike the ball?
Act like you've been there before.
Scoreboard.
Barry Sanders over here.
Yeah, right. Don't punch down.
Walter Payton.
Yeah, I've never learned that lesson.
Great people. You know, Ben Finfer, great guy. David Hawes here. Great people.
Sure.
But dead fish.
Dead fish. So I've always described that now you are a brand manager and you've got, like, you run the Milwaukee station, BetQL. Like, you are certainly beyond it now, but program director is kind of like a middle management job in some ways, right? Because, like, you're all of our bosses.
Right, but I report to. Right.
But you have market managers, sure, and you have right. GMs, and there's seven stations and all of that.
Right.
So, like, how many bosses have you had and how difficult has that been? Because, like, I've always thought, like, that I, you know, we've talked about radio dorkdom, and I like to think that I have a fairly high business IQ for this industry.
Right.
But I really have no interest in your job.
I love my job.
No, I know you do. Yeah. You're much more cut out for it than I am. But, right, like, you just have to deal with a lot of BS and a lot of other things, and you report to a lot of people, at least through the years.
Yeah, I report to a market manager. You know, I started here, it was Paul Agassi, then Rod Zimmerman, a guy named Tim Pullman, great guy. Today, Rachel Williamson, she's terrific. So, good people. Jimmy, you know, was here for a short time. Again, one of my mentors, great guy.
What a great time.
I don't agree with everything people do. You know, again, we all have, but you guys don't agree with everything I do. You know,
we
have disagreements, but. Yeah, I don't hold grudges. I hope you guys don't. We all have bosses in life, right? Whether at work, at home, and that's how I deal with things. I respect. Once you lose respect for somebody, it's all over.
Let's get a couple quickies in here, Danny. Oh. A host who you've had a lot of expressive, volatile conversations with, who you still get along with great.
I don't know if I mean... Currently, I love our team. I mean, I could go up and down our lineup. There nobody that I have volatile conversations with.
That one didn't go well.
No,
we've had a few.
Of course, but yeah. If you and I have something, we usually text at night and go, hey, man, you know, we work it out.
We work it out.
And anybody else.
So absolutely.
There will be nobody. I can't look you in the eye, which I am saying. There's nobody that I'm not talking to today, or that I'm too old for that. I've been around too long to let it linger. It's not healthy for anybody.
Got you. All right, then you said you had a Parkins story.
Real quick. So Parkins was in Kansas City. He and I had been in communication, and you know, Mac told me about Danny. Grew up in Chicago. Was an intern at MVP.
Remember, Danny came in to apply. Sort of, for the producer job for me and Mac in 2009.
I do remember.
We met
that.
At the Sheraton, your gangster flop
right,
house across the street.
Yeah, that was my
sneak
joint. Would have
been a train
wreck,
Danny, as a producer.
Oh,
absolutely.
It was so obvious he wanted nothing to do with producing.
Right.
He was a host. As a producer interview, he was a host.
Okay. So
that is accurate.
We agree. I said to Danny, hey, why don't you come in and do over? I'll give Les the week off, or Les was going, you know, to Disney for free. Quote unquote. And Danny came in and did overnights. It was great. He did a kick ass job. And I knew I wanted him here. And obviously, we had a midday opening. So at the time, CBS and Intercom were not together. Wheezy Kramer was a COO of Intercom. She lives and still lives in Chicago. I knew her a little bit, not a lot of it. So he did this and he was under contract in Kansas City. So I call Wheezy. And Wheezy, Mitch, she got a little at, Mitch, how you doing? I go, Wheezy, I'm great. I'm hemming and hawing. I'm calling the COO. And I go, you know, this Parkins guy, I really like him. He did this. I'm kind of, you know, I'd like to maybe bring him with it. She go, Mitch, I think it's great. Dan would be great in Chicago. Like that quick. Like he's under contract. I'm thinking that was so quick of a move. I go, all right, I'll call his market manager and we'll see, get him out of his contract.
Wow.
He has an agent.
She really believed in him.
But it, Wait, but it was too quick. Something was too good to be true. 2 weeks later, the merger of Intercom and CBS happened. Obviously, she knew what was going on, that we were going to be one family. Did you know that? Did I tell you that story?
I've heard the story. You told the story to me and Wheezy.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I was aware of the story. But yes, very shortly after I started with you, CBS and Intercom merged. And I worked for CBS Radio for like 3 weeks and then was right back with Intercom. Correct. This is fun. What can you tell people about Real Time and this event for the 30th?
It's just going to be fun. It's going to be an all-day event. It's open to the public. All of our current personalities, you know, past people like Boers and, you know, we hope North and Jiggets and a lot of surprises. Mm. And then our plan for the 5 to 6 p.m. hour is our whole current lineup, you know, Layla, Molly Hall, you guys, Lawrence, Dan, just kind of a round table and just talk about the score and all of our listeners. And it's just Real Time kind of has become our home game place. It's huge. Tom and Ben, his son out there, I was out there last week. They're so excited. And on the 20th, again, it's just going to be a fun party all day. Let's just have a good time. We all know it's been a challenging couple years for everybody. It's going to be safe, and let's just have a good time, and that's what we're looking at.
Sounds great. That's on
July 20th. Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you, guys. It's good to see you, and most importantly, I just want to say thank you to our audience for being with us for 30 years. You know, real quick, this started, you know, interacting with our audience on fax machines. You still take phone calls. But now it's texting. It's all the social media platforms. And this is one of the most loyal audiences in the world. And I just want to thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.